Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio, and I am super, super excited for this episode because we are going to talk about the new Ghost Recon game that was just announced a couple days ago. But first, let me introduce myself. My name is Danny, and joining me this week, we have Pete. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, dude? Anybody that knows me knows that I have a fascination with the world of Tom Clancy. I mean, from the books to the movies to the video games. And yesterday left me hype. Not just because it's another Tom Clancy title, not just because it's another Ghost Recon title, but it seems to me to be something that is the next evolution in Ghost Recon in general, right? While Wildlands was fun, there was a lot of things that could have been done to fix it. And I think what we're going to get here with Breakpoint is that culmination of listening to the community and adding more story-based, story-driven type content. And that's what fans from the Ghost Recon franchise have always come to expect from Ghost Recon, the title, right? It's always been the one that pushes the story arc and pushes the narrative with regards to that franchise. And so I'm anxious. I'm hype. I know we were all chatting while, you know, during, you know, we were chatting offline while watching the trailer and the teaser on Twitch and or YouTube. What was your reaction when you first heard, okay, it's going to be Breakpoint, it's going to be set in an open world environment. And as usual, you know, we're talking about the special forces group, the Ghosts.
It got my attention. It got my attention big time. And one of the things that I was like, okay, you know that Ubisoft is going to go all out with this one. You know what it was, Pete? When they were talking, the presentation where they mentioned where they had 30 developers that worked on Wildlands.
Yep.
But on this one, they have thousands. And I got that vibe of The Division, right? Because they learn from their past mistakes, the developers, right? And based on the feedback from the community also, that's when they were like, all right, we got to make this game even better. Let's add this. Let's do this. Let's do that. I think that's the part that got my attention the most, because I think instead of rushing it, but having a lot of people working on it, I think that's going to be a lot better for the franchise overall, man. It's going to be good. I think it's really, really good.
Again, Ghost Recon since 2002, right? That's when they first started with Ghost Recon as a video game. And again, like I said, even though Wildlands was fun and it was different, it was a change of pace from what players had come to expect from the Ghost Recon franchise, listening to the community, which is something that I have to say it has been something that Ubisoft has always done, has always put their ear to the community to listen, figure out what it is that they really want. You know, what are player requested features, not things that maybe, you know, the outlier communities like you know the casual players, but what do the hardcore Ghost Recon fans want out of a title? You know, they ask for things like military type vehicles, you know, more story larks, even a potential branching dialogue option, a la like maybe Mass Effect, things like that. Mm-hmm. And those are things that are coming up. And now for those that are probably listening to this and probably like, what the hell is Breakpoint, right? Maybe we should break that down before we go further into this discussion.
But I have to do an introduction, P, because, you know, we went straight to the game without doing an introduction. Because you never know. Look, right now we've been getting a lot of listeners that just search and just find us. So I just want to, you know, do the introduction and then we'll go straight to the Ghost Recon content, right? All right. So for those that are listening, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, share the content. You can find us anywhere, any podcast device, podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio, and you'll find us. Subscribe, and you will get the content and notification every time there's a brand new episode. And it's totally, totally free.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
A thing that I just found out a couple days ago, which is awesome for not only our show, but every podcast out there. Google now just added podcasts to their search engine. So every time you search for the name of a show or just anything, podcasts will pop up in the search engine right in the first page. So that's a great way for a lot of people to discover us. So, you know, shout out to all the new listeners that have been searching about gaming and just found Gamer Tag Radio out of nowhere, man. So it's pretty cool to see that, man. All right. So now let's go deep to the conversation about Ghost Recon.
Let's set the mood, right? So the game is based 4 years after the events of Wildlands, after the ghosts have invaded Bolivia and cleared out the cartel. And it takes place in a fictional island called Aroa in the South Pacific that's owned by a billionaire technologist, philanthropist. His name is Jace Skell. Jace Skell's name sounds familiar because if you saw the teasers that were leading up to this, and you'll have seen it in previous games, Skell Technology is a company that produces drones in the Tom Clancy / Ghost Recon universe, right? So drones and especially over the last couple of Ghost Recon titles, drones have been used either for attack, defense, healing, and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is, you know, Jace Skell is kind of starting to make its name, you know, more and more known in the Ghost Recon universe. So what he's done is he's turned this island basically into a giant hub of like research, development, production, etc. And there's a whole, and similar to Wildlands, this island has all these different weather biomes. So you've got forests, you've got mountains, you've got snow, you've got wetlands, you've got swamps, even a volcano. So in this story arc, you're playing the role of a character. I think his name is Nomad, that is sent to Aroa, and you're shot down, and you're stuck on this island with limited resources, limited weapons, and this is where Breakpoint starts to take that next evolution into the Ghost Recon overall franchise, where now they're adding survival into the game, not just, you know, point and shoot third party, or third person perspective, you know, action adventure shooting game. Mm-hmm. What I mean by survival tactics is, on top of, you know, looking for weapons and or ammo to progress to the next section, you have to now start looking for food and drinks to maintain your health and stamina. You have to start looking for bandages, obviously, for healing. Your injuries will affect your ability to play. So if your leg is hurt, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later. If you're hurt, you won't be able to run as fast, or you'll limp. So you won't be able to escape as quickly. They've brought crafting in. So now you actually have to do weapon maintenance to your guns instead of just having one single gun that you can carry from the beginning to the end. That's, you know, that's the best weapon. No, you actually have to go through and clean it because you're going through dirt and grime and snow and rain and forest. And these are things that we've seen in other games similar to, you know, like basically Fallout. Most recently, there's an indie game called Scum that's been starting to build up ever since E3 last year that I played a little bit of.
Yes, you did.
And this goes back into the food and drink thing, where you have to start maintaining your health and your nutrients so that, you know, that you can perform optimally. And those are things that, again, we saw a lot of in Scum. And I really think it's a cool little variant on just whether you're healthy or you're about to die. Man, they've taken this game to the next level. And, you know, on top of the regular things. This is almost an amalgamation of Ghost Recon, Far Cry, because now you've got these safe zones where you can rest, and it gives you an opportunity to treat your injuries. There's what's called bivouacs, where you can get gear and rations and bandages. You can trade with other players at these bivouacs and rest areas. And when you go to sleep, you can take that opportunity to rest up and maybe wait for the nighttime, where you'll be able to take more advantage of the stealth mechanic in the game. Maybe wait till it starts to rain, where you know there's going to be less enemies out in the rain, so you can go out and maybe do your thing with less interference from the enemies. The other thing is, and here's the twist, because usually you fight against like these nameless enemies, right? Who knows who they are, right? But this time, you're not just fighting, army, you know, or you know, military style, you know, enemies. You're actually fighting up against former Ghost Recon employees. Ooh. Right? Your former ghosts, and one of the leader is Cole Walker, played by John Bernthal, aka the Punisher from the Marvel Netflix series.
Oh, Punisher.
Yeah. So,
and also the Walking Dead series.
And the Walking Dead Shane. Good old, no, well, yeah. Not really good old Shane, right? He was a scumbag. Yeah. but now he's in charge of this group called the Wolves. And their job is to protect Jay Skell. And they're armed with weapons and equipment the same as, if not better than yours, because remember, you're dropped there with little assistance and little help. They've taken over Skell Technologies drone production, and now they're hunting the ghosts that are there to stop them.
Now, we have to talk about this, Pete, which got my reaction big time, and this is the reason why. So, they did announce that this game is going to have Raid, which is freaking dope. And the reason why I'm excited for this, if you compare this Raid to The Division or Destiny or any other game that has that type of mechanics, right? This is the first raid you can't just run and shoot. You also have to like hide. So my question to you, Pete, are you excited for that type of game mechanic in this raid for Ghost Recon Breakpoint?
I don't know.
Oh, you think you like that rush?
Well,
puzzles.
Well, it depends on how they approach the raid. Obviously, every raid is different, right? And we can't compare what they're doing in The Division and the upcoming raid coming later next week to what there was done in games like Destiny or games like World of Warcraft, right? Raids are different across the board. While they may have the same common element, which is defeat the ultimate final boss, the path to that, the path to and through that raid is probably most important than the final outcome, right? Obviously, the elation of defeating that final boss is great, but the journey towards that is usually just as fun, if not more. My question is, are we going to see, because they didn't just talk about raids, they talked about, you know, additional post-game content, things like that. I'm curious if they're going to do something akin to what they're doing with The Division 2, right? How with The Division 2, they did basically like a new game plus with a whole new enemy taking over the land. But you already have that with the wolves hunting the ghosts in Ghost Recon. So I'm curious how they're going to do that, if they even do that at all, or if they just leave it as is. You know what I mean?
As is, yeah. Well, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they have like a new game plus. Remember too, right now, this is just the announcement. So maybe closer to launch, when they have more preview events, we might hear about that more. Like, they probably have like a crazy announcement. Okay, we're going to have this and that in the game. So I honestly, like, it looks like they're kind of have like the Division formula, but for the style of Ghost Recon, not exactly like the Division 2, you know? You know what I'm trying to say, Pete?
Yeah.
So I think that's possible. I could see that happening too. Now, my question is, and this is the two questions that I have. One is all that content, is it going to be free the first year like The Division? Second question is, Raid, is it going to be four player or is it going to be more than four? You know, I know it's still really early, the game just announced.
Off the top of my head, I would say 4-player. The reason I say that is because Ghost Recon has always been a 4-player co-op experience. Max. And I don't see why they would try to grow that to beyond that. If that's where the story has always played as a 4-player co-op / experience, it's likely going to be, and I'd almost bet my comic books that it's going to be a 4-player. I'm not going to bet my comic books, so y'all that are listening, don't go there.
now, if they do announce, okay, this is going to have more than 4, are you okay with it, or you prefer 4 all the way?
I want to see what they have up to. I mean, and obviously we'll see more coming up at E3 because they did mention that at the end, and obviously this game comes out right now. For all intents and purposes, the release date is October 4th, 2019. The other thing that I'm curious about, aside from, you know, the things they talked about, PvP, you know, modes and stuff like that, shared progression across all modes, regardless of whether you're playing solo, co-op, or PvP. All of your progression gets shared across everything. Now,
I like that a lot.
When you talk shared progression, does this... Mm. Also mean, and of course we have to ask, right? Are we going to see shared progression across platforms?
I doubt it. I think it's going to be per platform, per console,
per platform.
Because it's like that. Yeah. I think it's going to be like that for every game, unless they make a major change in the future. But right now, I think it's going to be per console, per platform. I mean, it's the same thing with The Division. Like, why this one's going to be any different, you know? So,
I would say because this is a title that stands out a lot more so than The Division. It's got a lot more history. If there was going to be a title that could transcend something and jump and maybe be the leader in something, it's already multi-platform because we're talking Uplay, and you know they've obviously have the technology and the desire to want to do that, I would assume. So why not, right?
Yeah.
Going back
now,
go ahead.
But can I want to talk about that, Pete. I like that we could, like, anywhere you go in the game, even if it's like, you know, co-op, campaign, PvP, whatever, you're still gonna be getting experience points for your character. Yep. Same one. The thing that I like about that is, right now with The Division, the issue that I have is I don't play PvP that much, and I'm not playing Dark Zone that much. I'm just playing co-op.
Right, PvE.
That's all I'm playing. So the reason is, why should I go to Dark Zone if it's going to be different, like different experience points, like for my progression for my character, you know? But now that I know that everything shares, hey, I could, let's say I'm done with the campaign, I could go to PvP and check it out for a second, you know? And if it's good, if it's fun, if there's a purpose for me to go there to not only get loot, but also experience points, then I don't mind doing that too on the side, man.
Well, see, I think that's where things differ, whereas The Division has a key focus on weapons and stat rolls and things like that, akin to like that, you know, Destiny, where everybody is looking for that loot drop. You don't have that in Ghost Recon. Ghost Recon, that's not what Ghost Recon's about. So you won't really have that. You'll have your default weapons and that's it. Now, maybe those things have changed. And now with Gunsmith going basically, you know, with them going all in on Gunsmith, and we saw how things changed basically with the last in Wildlands, where you can start updating it and building it. But at the end of the day, it's still the same gun, right? You don't have these perks and talents on weapons that you can use in I guess the occupied Dark Zone. That doesn't fit, right? That doesn't work in the Ghost Recon universe. So but in that respect, I think we'll see a tamer PvP experience. Like, it's not going to be as focused like, oh, you have to go to the PvP environment to get X weapon that's hot now, right? Like, that's the armor melter, or that's the player melter. You don't have that in Ghost Recon. So I think that's where the lines differ and somewhat blur, where people expect that in The Division, but it's not there. It's just not a thing in Ghost Recon.
Yeah. I'm very excited either way. I think it was a great announcement. And I think that there has to be more at E3 for Ubisoft. It can't just be this announcement and that's it.
Oh no, I don't think so. I mean, you've got other titles, and yeah. obviously we'll do more with our predictions for E3 coming up. As we get closer. But I mean, there's Skull and Bones.
All right, so let's continue with Ghost Recon, Pete. So what you think about the whole changes? Like now, let's say an enemy comes and you could just put mud all over your body and just camouflage and just hide there and you see them passing by. I think that was a pretty cool feature that they added in there, man.
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
I'm going to be using that. I'm going to be using that like crazy.
Yeah, I think that was called the prone camo, where you can like, you basically like push yourself into it. Kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator.
Yes.
Right? Where you basically push yourself into the mud and you're prone so you can sneak up. You can wait till your enemy passes by you. The sync shot comes back, which I thought was fun. A little OP, but fun nonetheless. Because, I mean, sync shot is great. But when you're trying to do the sync shot with four players versus, you know, doing it with your with the co-op AI, yeah. never misses. When you're playing with your friends miss. And that's when the insanity occurs. That's when a lot of the fun actually really starts to happen.
Mm-hmm. And this is also the first time that, you know, the previous game, there was no PvP. We had to wait for months and then the PvP came out. This one's actually going to have it in the game for launch. So that's a good thing. I think that's really good. Because that's one of the things I was talking to Paris. And I think you were there in the chat. Were you there? I don't remember. We were like, it was like right before the stream started, the review event. And I was like, man, they got to add some PvP in there, man. Because it can't just be the campaign like the previous game. You know, and that's the thing that a lot of people... They just love that multiplayer. So by them adding it in there and have it for launch, I think that's a perfect move for them, man. To just keep people to continue playing the game for a very long time. And actually, the last game had 19 updates from launch till now.
Yep.
Which is awesome. That's a sign that, and remember, this is when there was only 30 people working on that game, right? So now with this version, they're gonna have a lot more people that are working on this, thousands of developers. I wouldn't be surprised if there's gonna be way more than 19 updates from launch in the future.
Well, it's a much larger title, and that's to be expected. I mean, and going back to the mud stuff, there was another thing that they mentioned, terrain and weather effects. Obviously, you know, I touched upon the weather and the weather biomes earlier, in the recording, but running uphill, you don't run the same speed. Obviously running downhill, you have to be a little more cautious, especially when you've got rocks and tree branches and roots and stuff like that. You can slip up and you can fall and you could injure yourself. And this goes back to the healing, you know, that whole, your ability to perform as a military, you know, as a military operator is compromised. If you get injured, right, you're not going to be at your peak. So now you have to be cautious if you're running in the rain. You go downhill. Obviously, they showed it in the trailer or in the gameplay teaser. As you're going downhill, if the environment lends to it, you'll slide down, maybe tumble if you hit a root or something like that. So you can't just run full speed at anything and everything, and regardless of where you're going, you have to play smart.
And you got to take your time. You can't just bum rush anywhere.
That's exactly
right?
It. And then it's cool. Yeah. I don't know if you caught it, but there's three different classes that they talked about. Assault, Sharpshooter, and then Panther. Panther was your stealth character. So I'm very curious to see how and what they're going to do with that. And apparently, you will be able to select and create your own custom character in the game, which I think was really cool as well. Hopefully, they've learned some of those lessons from the Division 2 launch and allow for some diversity in there.
Now, I'm going to keep it real with you, Pete. The last game, which I enjoyed, it was a lot of fun, but man, the voice acting was just...
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. But I think this one's going to be good, voice acting-wise. I think it's going to be a lot... I mean, the stuff that we saw, I'm like, okay, much better, a lot better. Now, if I ever get to interview one of the developers, or you, anybody, I really want to bring this up, You know, because I know the last game was very controversial. The government in Bolivia was so against this game that they even sent a complaint to the government in France because of the things that the, you know, things in the story and the stuff that they were talking about in the game, that it just basically gave it like a bad name to Bolivia. You know, so I see why this Ubisoft decided to change things around and just make a fictional location for the next game, because I think it's a lot of politics between them, man. You know, just trying to diss like a real country, you know. So I think moving forward, I think it's all going to be fake locations for Ghost Recon from this one and on.
I think that's a safer route, right? You don't target a specific, you know, country or community or race or genre of people. And I think it's the right thing to do, you know, when, yeah. And also it offers you a little bit more, freedom of creativity when you're not tied to a specific locale or race or gender, et cetera. It allows for more creativity, right? So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's like, if you think about it, it's like Far Cry. You know, they have Hope County Story. Not Hope County Story as well. Hope County, that is a fictional location. But, man, a lot of people thought it was real. A lot of people thought it was a real location. And we're like, no, it's fake. It's not real at all. Man.
Right. And that was a testament to the writing and the creativity of the Ubisoft team. You know, so.
Yeah.
If you could do it on that title, you could do it on any other title. And, you know, that's exactly what I meant by, you know, giving the opportunity for the writing to truly take life.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So, Pete, anything else about Ghost Recon? Like, you know, I know you have a lot of notes there, but anything that to you... that you're super excited once we go to E3 and we get to see the game. Most likely we'll interview the developers and everything, man. Anything else?
I just want to get hands on, right? I want to see how it plays. Does it return back to first/third part, you know, third person perspective? I know from what I've seen so far, it is going to be third person, but it gives the player an opportunity to switch to first. Is that a permanent thing, or is that just in specific situations? I'd like to see what they're going to do with multiplayer and some of their PvP modes.
Yes.
Not just like Team Deathmatch, but games like Siege. Siege is a mode that I loved. And me and my friends, you know, that's how we cut our teeth online with tournaments and stuff like that, was Siege mode. So I want to see how and what they're going to do with that. And then again, I want to play around with their gunsmith again. I want to see how that's improved and taken and gone to the next level.
Definitely, definitely. And actually, this Thursday, we're going to continue with our podcast series that we were at Red Storm December or so. I still have a couple more episodes left, and I'm going to play it for this Thursday because, you know, it's a great, great series, man. So, all right, Pete, I think we should wrap it up, right, Pete? Should we wrap it up?
Yep. Yeah, I think that was a good walk into that.
Yeah. Definitely. Just stay tuned, everybody. Yes, we are going to E3 this year. Thanks to our listeners. And I think, Pete, we should just announce what's going on. Or I think we should, because it's in a couple weeks.
Announce what?
How we're going to E3.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about that here.
Yeah. So, all right. So, no, we got to keep it real to our listeners, man. So, First of all, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's been donating. Please continue donating, because if we're planning to go to like a future event, I mean, an event in the future or any other places, any locations, you know, or when we go to, you know, media events to get coverage for the podcast, all the money that you guys have been donating, not only through the donate link, but also Twitch, when you buy, you know, T-shirts from our store. All that is going to go strictly to basically like an investment for us to continue to work, you know, for GTR and travel and all that stuff, right? So all the donations that we receive now for E3 2019, we already booked a location for us to stay, a hotel or Airbnb, for the week of E3. Thank God, because, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, I think we would have been sleeping in the streets. You know, so shout out to everybody for supporting us. So we already booked a place for us to stay. Everything, super excited about that. But also, because of the campaign of us, you know, promoting this online a lot, Ubisoft came up to us and they were like, hey, we'd like to invite you to E3. We're going to fly you guys out so you could continue with your coverage. The last time that ever happened to us, because this is not the first time that a video game company flew us to E3. Back, I believe, in 2008, I think it was 2007, 2008, around there. EA also flew us out over there. And they were like, look, Danny, I want you to do your coverage and just good or bad, doesn't really matter. And also, same thing with, you know, the things that we always do. Coverage, roundtable, interviews, all that stuff. So Ubisoft, they're going to fly us out. And because of our gaming community, our listeners, we already booked a hotel for E3, so I'm super, super excited. So, Pete, anything else you want to talk about that?
No. Thank you to each and every person, regardless of whether you were able to contribute or not. Just being a viewer helps us, or a listener on the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you. Those that have that were able to support us, whether it was a single bit on the Twitch stream, whether it was a Twitch Prime subscription, or a tier 1 through 3 subscription, again, donations. Thank you, each and every one. If you are at E3, let me know so I can give you a dap or a hug or a bro fist or a head nod. If you're at any other events that we're at, let us know. Let me know whether it's, you know, on Twitter, send us an email to fan mail or a voicemail message. Let us know. So that way, you know, we can personally say thank you. But yeah, again, definitely. From us to you, thank you so much for making this happen.
Yeah, man. So please continue to donate, because this is going to help us a lot. So go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. So thank you, everybody. So we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to Gamertag Radio. Remember, search for Gamertag Radio. Any podcast app, even Google search. You can find us also on Pandora, everywhere. Just search for us, and we're there. We're planning to post a lot of content at E3. Right now, it's going to be a little bit challenging because Pete is only us two, man. Paris is going to be joining us for the pre-E3 event, but actual, like, the E3 conference is only going to be us two. But last year, we posted 54 episodes. I don't know how we're going to do this with two, but I'm not going to give up. I think I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to go all out for this episode, for this coverage.
All right. Sure. All right. You're doing it. So that's going to be all you, all 54 episodes. I heard that. You heard that here first, gentlemen.
Hey, you never know.
We'll I got see, you we'll for see. Two, okay? I got you for two. I'm calling two books.
Yeah. Pete, should we stream during our daily roundtable? I mean, it's going to be kind of difficult. I have no idea how's the internet at
That's without knowing what the internet is going to be at our place. I don't know. I'd like to say yes. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to maybe try it. And worst case scenario, we do it from our phones. If we've got the signal, I would like to maybe experiment with that a little bit more and see else we could do from a coverage perspective, maybe do, you know, as we're walking through the, from the North Hall to the South Hall, you know, maybe do like a live or something like that. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But it is definitely something I'd like to figure out. You know, maybe as we're waiting to get in, do a pre-E3 walk up, you know, what we're looking forward to covering, what appointments we have for those days. For sure.
Yeah. I put it this way. I've been booking a lot of appointments and there's a couple more that's coming up in the future. And we got some big stuff coming. Big stuff coming for this E3. So stay tuned. Once Parrot comes back, we're going to have our Miss Leo E3 predictions. It's a little bit challenging this year because You know, a lot of not only PlayStation is not going to be there at E3, but there's a lot of companies that just been announcing games early. So no more. We have to wait to E3. The only company, the only two companies that I think we have to wait until the week of is just Microsoft and Nintendo. But everybody else, they're just announcing games right before E3, well, which is insane.
You can't, it can't be leaked if it's already out to the public. So I think that's, I think what companies are doing now is they're trying to get ahead of that with leaks being so prevalent and common now at E3 and conventions like that. What hurts? It doesn't hurt it anymore, right? In my opinion.
Yeah. But all right, we're gonna wrap it up here. Everybody, thank you for listening, and until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.